was really shocked and upset, and particularly because I'm a Jew, I felt a special responsibility to do something about it and distance myself from what was happening ostensibly in my name. So I felt that if I did nothing, it was like saying it's okay. So I was trying to think of what I could do, and I found out about the International Solidarity Movement. I guess it might have been formed around the time of that terrible incursion into Jenin by the Israeli military. And the Palestinian Authority asked for international observers or peace force, and they never got it, but they did get the ISM, the International Solidarity Movement, which was put together by Palestinians. And about a year ago, I found out that there was a local chapter of the ISM being formed in Montreal. So I joined in, and there I found the courage and the support to actually go over to Palestine. So last summer I went to Palestine during the Freedom of Movement campaign, Freedom Summer 2003. Every year they have, or several times a year, they have different campaigns lasting for several weeks, usually about 6 or so weeks, and about a different problem proposed by the occupation. For example, they had one where they were escorting children to schools, freedom of education, and there was the Olive Harvest campaign. And this one had to do with, it was focusing on the lack of freedom of movement caused by the occupations of the roadblocks, the checkpoints, and particular focus was on a new phenomenon, the gigantic separation barrier being built by Israel, mostly in Palestinian land. So I went there, and I was quite nervous about it. As you know, some ISM activists have been killed, and some injured. And I was very fortunate, though, that I went during just as I was about to leave, there was a ceasefire declared. And so I went there, and I got 2 days of very excellent training in nonviolent direct action, and started to feel a lot more confident. So there were about, I'd say, about 100 people in Palestine from the ISM alone, although we were coming in sort of waves with a training session every week. And so there were only 30 people in my group, and of that, I'd say about, nine of us were Jewish. And after the 2 days of training, we were split up into various, sent out to various regions throughout the country into smaller groups. And I asked, I was still somewhat apprehensive and inexperienced, so I asked to go to the lowest risk area, which turned out to be a camp set up by Palestinians in a farmer's field near some villages in the Tulkarm region. Now, just to get back to the program, I didn't know exactly how I was going to use this training, how we were going to oppose these things like the roadblocks and the checkpoints and the wall. The roadblocks. We did some roadblock removals. One of them was in an area near Jenin, and it was. These are set up to restrict movement of Palestinians, especially where there's a settler bypass road, so that the settlers are, the Israeli settlers are. There's no money spared for making them comfortable and making their lives easier, and they get the best roads to go from their settlements into Israel. And any time a Palestinian decrepit road passes through one of these roads, a roadblock is set up. So to convenience maybe 200 settlers, they're willing to inconvenience maybe 20,000 Palestinians. And not only are these roadblocks and checkpoints a humiliation and a hindrance to ordinary life for the Palestinians, but they can cause whole villages to suffer. For example, this village, Nazlat Issa, needed a new pump for its well. And there was absolutely all the roads into this village were roadblocked, so they couldn't get any heavy equipment into it. I don't know how they managed to solve that problem. And then there was the fence. There was a ceasefire going on, so I didn't really see any horrendous violence except for the fence, which I think is a form of violence. And the bulldozer is a formidable weapon. It's used against the Palestinians. So the fence, I had a map that I passed around, has already caused the loss of about 10% of Palestinian land. And if they complete it, as it seems to be planned, it probably will be the loss of around 50% of the 22% of the original Palestine that's been left to them. And it's cutting off farmlands from farmers and making people lose jobs, and they can't go to their jobs and across the fence anymore. And it's taking water resources. I think they're trying to put all the settlements on the Israeli side of the fence, as many as they can. So it sounds like it's going to be a permanent land grab. And it will make a Palestinian state just impossible, which I think is a very serious thing for everybody to be concerned about. And even President Bush thought it was a bad idea, but he hasn't gone any further than just saying that. So I just wanted to read you a letter that. An article that I saw on the internet by a fellow named Sharif Omar. He was the head of the Land Defense Committee and a really fine leader in the city, in the village of Jayus, which was my first introduction to the wall. We stopped at Jayus before I got to my final destination. And here's what he had to say. In Jayus, the Palestinian village on the West Bank that is my home, we began living with this problem of the fence last September when a shepherd found a paper hanging from an olive tree. It was a military order instructing us to meet an Israeli army officer to tour the separation wall's path. Hundreds of area Palestinians turned out. Most farmers expected that the wall would be near the Green Line, Israel's pre-1967 border with the West Bank. But we learned that the wall would be built almost 4 miles east of the Green Line, as close as 90 feet from Jayus's homes, separating our residential area from our farmland. People burst into tears. Some fainted. With the wall, Israel is taking 75% of Jayus's most fertile land, including all our irrigated farmland, 7 wells, 12,000 olive trees. Jayus's 3,000 residents depend almost entirely on agricultural income, so this means a loss of our livelihoods, dreams, hopes, future, and heritage. Jayus is just one example. The wall is cutting through Palestinian villages all across our fertile Qalqilya region and causing destruction in dozens of West Bank villages. Thousands of farmers can't reach their land. Gates are supposed to provide access to land, but instead they've become places for Israeli soldiers to harass and beat farmers. Thousands of citrus trees have died from lack of water. Many farmers are simply leaving their crops in the fields because the transportation costs would make them unprofitable to market. Israeli officials have justified the wall's construction as necessary for security. However, if it were for security, it would follow the Green Line. Building it 4 miles inside the Green Line means only one thing. The Israelis are confiscating more Palestinian land and water. The truth is, many Israelis want the land without the people. The wall is an unwritten order for emigration from Palestine because people who have no income will have no choice but to leave. To avoid this, I and many other farmers began building sheds and tents so we can live on our farmland. I've planted 150 citrus trees since they started building the wall to show other farmers we don't have to yield. Jayus farmers, with the assistance of international and Israeli activists, have held many peaceful protests during which they face the bulldozers destroying their fields, as well as armed Israeli soldiers and guards. During one peaceful march, an Israeli military officer explained to me that Sarah, the wife of our common ancestor Abraham, was their mother, but not ours, and that because Sarah went to heaven, Jews were entitled to the land. After this lecture, he used tear gas and rubber-coated bullets to break up our protest. I've chosen peaceful resistance to the wall because, as a father, I feel pain when my children are hurt. I have the same feeling for Israelis. I don't want to cause them pain. Peaceful resistance also avoids giving the Israeli military justifications to kill more Palestinians. I hope peaceful protests will leave a positive impact on Israeli soldiers and strengthen our partnership with Israeli peace groups. The majority of Palestinians now completely convinced that nonviolent resistance is the best choice. The whole idea of a wall is wrong. It will never lead to a just and real peace. I don't even want them to build the wall on the Green Line because it will truly be an apartheid wall, preventing the development of understanding between our cultures. It is so important for us to find one language for peace. From Jayus, we call on people from around the world, Americans, Israelis, Arabs, and all others, to help us stop this unjust wall. And that's was written by Sharif Omar, a farmer and community leader, member of the Land Defense Committee for the region of Qalqilya. I was very impressed with this man, and I actually met him, and I was impressed in general and greatly surprised with the resilience and the resourcefulness of the Palestinians that I met. And also, I was quite amazed with their hospitality and their gratitude for our being there. So all in all, it was a very positive experience. I'd like to go back again.